call vote.
Okay, Supervisor Stock.
Here.
O'Day.
Here.
Stocker.
Here.
Nordigan.
Present.
Thomas.
Here.
Belsky.
Here.
Carroll.
Here. Is that loud enough?
Jake Thomas is
Heard
here.
Part of you.
And he is excused.
I am here.
Yeah, don't taper off.
Gotcha.
Stay strong.
Okay, and then open floor for citizens' comments. Are there any citizens here? I don't think we have any citizens here to comment.
We're all citizens.
What's that?
We're all citizens.
Yeah, we're all citizens. Okay, seeing that there are no citizens' comments are closed, and then we'll move to approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Stock, second by Supervisor Belsky. I don't think we have any discussion on that, so how do you vote?
Aye.
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 No one abstaining for that, right? And then any chairman or committee member, supervisor, again, comments? I don't have any comments that won't be covered in the meeting at this point. I will have Shelley probably come up on a, I think it's the outdoor recreation plan during one of the discussions, so I won't wait until your report. I don't want that during the Okay. Any supervisors have any comments? You can govern them. No? We'll just keep rolling on here. All right, so we get to the Supervisor Thomas's resolution, first resolution A.
Make a motion to approve.
I'm sorry, who approved the motion then? Supervisor Thomas? Okay. Is there a second? No second?
Aye.
Okay. I'll have a second on that. So that one's not going.
So we're going to make a motion to, on the second one?
Motion to approve by Supervisor Thomas?
Yeah.
Is there a second?
You guys have a good night.
And then Golf Division, Jim, do you have anything to comment on since your report? Anything new, updated, anything you want us to let us know?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did just want to say that we opened 18 holes at Brightondale.
Point of order, can we have on the record that Brian Thomas, Supervisor Thomas, walked out of the meeting at 6:34. Thank you.
Go ahead.
We did, with this crazy lack of winter, our staff was able to facilitate the opening of 18 holes out at Brightondale beginning yesterday at noon. We remained open today and will be open tomorrow until the weather forces us to, the incoming storm, until that forces us to close. We will be closed on Wednesday and Thursday, and we will reassess after the storm is through to see if we can reopen Friday. And obviously, we have a very nice weekend coming. So I guess our goal in all this is just to sort of try to add a little bit of flexibility into our planning. We're still somewhat in winter mode preparing the golf courses, and we've got some facility cleaning yet to do, and we've got to get staff moved back over to Petrifying Springs off of Brightondale, which we hope to do that as soon as Wednesday of this week. So obviously a lot of our customers are itching to play some golf, so we're trying to accommodate them as best we can, and this is really, really early for us, but people are happy to be out there. We had about 70 rounds of golf yesterday, and it didn't start till noon, so we're just trying to be flexible and accommodate what we can in this early spring.
So you opened yesterday at noon? Is that what
we opened 18 holes out of Brightondale yesterday at noon.
Yesterday at noon, right. That's what I thought then.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had, we had...
But about 70 yesterday.
70?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think they had close to 50 on the books today, plus some walk-ins. And people typically come out and buy their season pass this time of year as well. So it's kind of a good, you know, instead of setting this rigid opening day, we're going to try to be flexible through March until we know we can be full go. But I think the weather's going to kind of be in and out, so we're just going to try to take advantage of those. And that way we're not having staff there on bad days and stuff like that. If they are there, they'll be cleaning and prepping things. But
Okay, so the staff is there only on the days that you're going to be open?
For the most part, as far as our seasonal staff, yeah. And their managers may start bringing them in for other cleaning and preparation needs, but...
Okay. Any questions? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
How's the turf holding up?
So far, so good. There was concerns with the heavy, wet snow. It was melted down, but it's all clear, which kind of resets our ice clock. And, you know, with the fluctuation...
Except Wednesday, it's supposed to snow possibly.
Yeah, I think it'll be gone pretty quick. Okay. So, you know, you get 30 days under ice, then you got trouble, and luckily we were able to avoid that this year. So far, things look okay.
Do you predict any, if you're going back and forth with opening and closing and having you bring staff in, are we getting enough golf play that covers the cost of staff coming in?
For the days that it's good, yeah, absolutely. Okay. And, you know, there is always some of that, whether we open our typical day to St. Patrick's Day. You know, the first year I got here, 2022, I think for the first 2 months there was more bad days than good days. So it's kind of part of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my job is to keep them busy if we're not. You know, there's plenty of things we can do. So.
Okay. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Anybody else have any questions for Jim? And Jim, there isn't any more damage that would be done to the course because, you don't have frozen grains or frost or anything like that that you'd be concerned about at this time?
No. We're keeping the carts on the path, so that's the main concern I would have, and we're spreading the traffic around as best we can. If it gets too much, we'll obviously with open a couple days, close a couple days, we're going to try to keep that, be very mindful of that as we move forward.
All right. Any more questions for Jim? Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Oh, I do have a question. Simulators, how are they working out?
A little bit ahead of last year. About 1,000 ahead of last year at the start or at the end of January. And February is looking pretty good. They are, other than Monday and Tuesdays, for about 3 hours in the morning, those things are pretty full. They've got to play once a week. And I actually had a few customers come in today and say, wow, you guys have simulators? I said, yeah, we have a league. You should join next year. So I think it's nice that we're open and they're still up.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder if that's not a bad thing to have.
Yeah. So it's been good.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Seeing as you kept discussion going, I do have one question, if possible. So for the Red Pines practice facility improvements, I see in the report it says that you've awarded some work to Golf Creations. I assume that's for design work or something?
The design work was is done through Quitno Golf Design.
Okay. So this is actually the contractor?
This is the construction, yes.
Okay. Is it possible to share the plans for what you're planning on doing up there?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I haven't seen those, so I just would like to. I might have missed it in my emails that I got, but appreciate it.
Absolutely. We'll get you those tomorrow.
Yeah. But the installation has basically been completed on Red 9.
The irrigation, yes. They've got a little bit of wiring and flushing.
That's the structure of the
other maps. Everything's in the ground, yes.
Mm-hmm. Gooder?
Yeah, and the other project you list on here, the drainage line, I presume you still have to do some additional investigating to figure out what you got to do with that yet.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Good.
That's it.
Thank you, Jim. All right, next up we're going to have Matt Storino, Facilities Division Operations. Matt, anything new or anything you need to update from your reports?
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I do want to comment on the PSB Joint Services Washroom Locker Room Remodel Project. That one, you guys may remember, it's been on the CIP since 2020. So that one did go out to pre-bid, and we had over 12 vendors attend that pre-bid conference, so that was a great sign. A lot of good questions for the addendum. So we're pretty optimistic to get some good competitive bidding on that one. The scope of that work is going to focus primarily on the washroom in the men's locker room area, remodeling the washroom, adding new shower stalls, as a project for in-house for the county facilities team, we're going to paint, we're going to replace ceiling tile, and do LED lighting in the locker room area itself to kind of give that area a facelift. So other than that, I don't really have anything else to add. If you guys have any other questions on anything, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. anybody have any questions for Matt? Okay. Thank you, Matt. And now we have Shelley doing the Parks Division, if you want to throw in your that extra stuff there. I think that's where you were going to do it anyway. Yeah. Go ahead, Shelley.
First, the resolution for the maintaining the Wisconsin Bird City status and recognizing International Migratory Bird Day proclamation. This is a yearly resolution that's done for the Parks Department to be eligible for DNR type grants. So we are requesting approval for this year's resolution for May.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion by Bell, second by Stock. Any discussion?
Is there any requirements that come along with this, like land use requirements or things that we need to construct to put in place? That's all.
Good. Any other questions? All right, so any more questions? Oh, go ahead.
So this resolution is simply just kind of a thing just saying, like, we think that we should encourage more native bird migration in the scene, as you said, that we've been done this in years past. And so it's just purely a, I can't remember the word, but like a non-binding?
Symbolic.
Yeah, symbolic.
Yes.
Okay.
Primarily. We do keep our tree health is a portion of this, so keep our trees in healthy order. Dispose of those or remove those that are in danger.
Okay, Supervisor Stock.
Is this the one, or is it a different one that helps us qualify for grants? I remember we had another. Is it this one?
This one does.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, so questions? Take a vote on this, and I think we'll have our student government at the same time. So we'll
okay.
All right, all those in favor of the resolution, state aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anybody against? All right. Resolution passes. Shelley, next one on your division.
So there's really no changes to the division report. I did what Supervisor and Chairman Nordigan was mentioning is we are due for a comprehensive outdoor recreation plan update. So we are going to be looking at that for budgeting and allocation. Part of that does require public input. So we'll be looking at possibly doing something through events and for public input as far as our park system goes. So this is a process we'll start looking at implementing in the 2025 season when I get the new parks director on board, which we are doing and planning for second round interviews this week and hope next week I'm on vacation or the following week. We're still trying to schedule those in.
And the outdoor recreation plan is another plan that helps us get grants and
correct. You need
parks.
Correct. We need to update it every 5 years to keep DNR stewardship type programs in place. So we are due, I believe it was last year. So we're going to work, and they are working with us on grants that we're applying for right now, knowing that we're going to have this process in place. So we should be good with the 2025 schedule.
Do you have like public hearings so that you have public comments or?
They do it more as a more event driven,
okay.
And then they do a survey, so an online survey for those that are comfortable doing online, have the ability to, so they'll do that as well.
So there is input.
Yes,
so
there is input. Yes. Yeah.
Supervisor Stock.
So what all is this covered? Does this look at? Will this be looking at? Will this have Kemper in there? Will this have our parks? Like, what is it primarily focused on? Or
so
what is it?
Yeah, it analyzes our park system as far as what citizens of Kenosha County are looking for to have in the county park. So it goes from anywhere from amenities from playground equipment, it could be beach access, it could be keeping things naturalized. It kind of just gets their overall input as to the things they want to see.
So something like these first two resolutions that weren't voted on would have been something that could have been passed at these.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
That we could have
got feedback
and
from.
Put them through there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I have a question.
You didn't raise your hand. I don't know if you're talking to your seat.
With regard to the Keene study for Kemper, I thought
Keene was going to have this to us in January, and now it seems it's being pushed off.
Yes, so Matt was the primary driver of this, so it's taking me a little bit to get it back under my wheelhouse of getting going. So I did get the confidential draft just recently, so I'm got to look at that. And then they're hoping that with the scheduling of their availability to come out and actually do like a committee of the whole or before a board meeting, that their only availability was May. So trying to get that scheduled was a little more difficult too.
Because we do need some attention.
Yes.
What's going on there.
And I really want them to come and present their findings to everybody to ask questions
and
be available.
And I hope it's just not superficial of these are the kind of events that we can do. I hope they dig down into the operations.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Supervisor Carroll.
So I know that with Matt's departure that it makes things a little more challenging. At our recent PDAC meeting, I was talking with BJ.
Okay.
And he said that he was working with Matt on scheduling some spraying for the spongy moths, and it sounds like we're probably past the deadline now and potentially availability might be limited, if at all.
We are still researching that. I don't know if the availability is limited yet. I have been working with BJ, and we've got some questions into our corp council and purchasing as to if that's got to go out for a bid or is this something we can just contract, because it's very specialized work. So I'm waiting for those responses, and if it's just something that is very specialized and I don't have to go out, we can certainly call the individual we already got a quote from. So my fingers are crossed that it's specialized and we can just get going on it. So
well that would be
we'll
good.
Let you know as soon as I know which process it is.
And I understand it's variable. We just, you know, if it spreads to our parks, it can really be detrimental, not only to our parks, but even private property and stuff like that. So I know that we're hoping for a wetter spring than we already have right now, because then it limits the hatch.
Correct.
So as it stands right now, it doesn't look like it's being too wet.
Yes.
So, but that could all change as we go.
Since I work with Public Market and beekeepers, they're very, very, very concerned about the bees dying off because of the mite situation of it not getting cold enough. And it would kind of be nice to, I was going to reach out to the DNR, but I wanted to make sure that I cleared it about the, was it Patch, the bumblebee? The one that's under
danger?
Yeah. Because it could impact some of our grants, especially the Pike River. So, is it okay if I reach out to them? I won't do it on behalf of Public Works or anything.
I would be okay with that. I don't know if there's
to see if they have like a report of the area to see how the bumblebee patch is doing.
Because I remember doing different things like that in PDAC before. I won't say it was reaching out for bees, but I know
probably a GW extension at some point.
There might be something.
Okay.
Because I doubt that
or the education extension system too. They may have some.
Okay.
I don't know if the DNR tracks that or if it's CW extension.
Right.
I don't.
I'll check and then let everybody know. But it's concerning because it is endangered. So that's all.
Anybody else? Go ahead.
Looking at the Midwest Interstate Trail, I see some feasibility, so I'm assuming there's no actual idea for a route, an actual one. It's just kind of seeing engineering.
Right. We are looking at feasibility as far as location right now. We did receive a TAP grant for some of the construction portion of that, but we have to conduct the feasibility first. And then it'll go into ultimately design and then construction.
Okay, and when is the start of completion in 2024? Is it saying that have the feasibility done by then?
Correct.
Yeah, this is going to be out for another year or so before we actually start seeing anything. We have Thielen property we have to work with on it. We also have a Thielen pit that Thielen is working on. That's going to be offered for first right of refusal, from what I understand, for us to maybe make that a central location for a bike park. Whatever that might kind of focus on. There's a lot of moving parts right now that we don't know that timeline on, but I think we'll get something pretty affirmative by 2025. We should know what we're doing. Mm-hmm.
I guess just,
the grant money.
And then just one more point. I'm not as familiar with the counties in Illinois. I'm assuming McHenry County is an Illinois county.
Yes.
And that's what, okay, that's what makes it interstate.
See where Twin Lakes is? Wilmot Mountain?
Oh, I know where Twin Lakes is.
Wilmot Mountain is a bus up to McHenry County. Well, Lake County and McHenry County go across the street.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Supervisor Scott. Just a quick question on the Old Settlers Park. What's the nature of the ordinance change or what they're trying to do?
So they're trying to put a special event ordinance in place that will dictate on getting permits through the village for any events that are within the village boundaries. So it may have an impact on how often we have our bands at Old Settlers. It may impact if there is a beer garden at Old Settlers. So we're in the process. The county exec has been in discussions with their village administrator. So we're waiting to see where this ordinance goes. I don't believe it's been put back on their board for action yet because of some of the questions that have been raised and concerns as far as county events at Old Settlers.
So who's the controlling interest, I guess, in this with the band shell? Is it the county or is it the village or is it shared? Is it?
So we would have to still dictate under the village ordinances anything that goes on at our park. So we would still have to apply for their type of park-related usages that impact the village.
It's really the same thing as a beer garden over at Pets.
Correct.
We still have to go through Summers.
Okay. Because I know there's an issue with their license, too. I wasn't sure if it was related to the beer garden or if it was just
So their license for serving and selling would be issued through the village.
Got it.
As well.
I think they have only the one left, and
that's
the current administrator, for some reason, thinks that could go someplace else at some point in time in the future. But I don't know if he's running for re-election, so
I think
it's all on hold. Yeah. So they get a new board, and then they'll talk about it. So.
Yeah, well, I know Matt worked really hard to make sure those were booked, so hopefully there's no hold-ups on the events.
Yes, as far as my concern, any of our events, we're moving forward. We are making them aware of our band and band shell usage, and they've been okay with that. So we're just making them aware that we're continuing on. The events are going in, and we're just making them aware.
Okay.
So, yes.
That's all.
That's good. Anything else, Shelley, on parks that's not covered in the...
Nothing that I can think of at this time.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric. How was the search for a new individual?
Yeah, so we have second round interviews we're trying to schedule right now. We're trying to work for either late this week or I'm off next week, the following week when I get back. So hopefully
but you
the
think
second.
Within the next, I guess I was trying to get in my mind when you were mentioning it before, is it a month out, 2 months out?
No, I would say we would know something after that second round of interviews. I think we make a determination.
Okay.
We have three individuals?
We have
the second
two
round?
That will be going to second round.
Two going to second
yes.
round.
Yes.
Okay.
How many do we have to begin with? Five or six?
We had seven that we were, but we had one no-show, so
that's right.
We interviewed six.
So six were in.
Yeah. I mean, people don't show up for interviews.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Not the only one.
Yes. Usually at that level, we don't see that, but yes, I was kind of surprised.
Well, hopefully we can get it tidied up before this board is done for the session or whatever they call it. So.
Yeah. Okay. Unless there's any more questions, Parks is completed then. And Frank, we're going to head to you for special projects facilities.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few updates and notes. The first project at Brookside, shingled roof replacement. We've had a bit of challenges. We had six bidders bid, which is good, especially compared to the old days. We had six of them bid, but shingled roofs, flat roofs, you get companies that have been established and professional, they've done a long time. Shingles, they've got crews that kind of work up here in the summer, work down in Texas in the winter. You know, guys that kind of spring up and So anyway, we wrote a really good spec. We got six bids, and some of them were so low that we calculated it would barely cover their materials. We pressed them if they were good bids. They said yes. We stepped through all the specs with them and hit them hard on this is not going to be a change order job. We did a good job writing these specs, and you're not going to make it up on the back end. And we're always going to be fair. And one dropped out. The second lowest one says, yep, we're in. We went through the specs. They dropped out. The third lowest got in their paperwork late for their vendor responsibility form by state statute. We couldn't take it. So we had to go to the fourth bidder, which actually is Koshak Roofing. We're validating their bid with them. So it is a little tighter, but still within budget. But that kind of shows, actually, it goes back to 10 years ago when we wouldn't do the engineering until the budget was passed, and the consultants already were booked up for several months, so we wouldn't release the roofing bids until spring, and a lot of roofers were already booked, so we'd end up with two or three bids. We changed all that. We did the engineering the year before, released the bids right after you guys approved the budget, and that's how we're able to get this number of bids. And thankfully, especially in this case, it really paid off. So hopefully, Koshak, they did the flat roofing here. They did a good job, so hopefully they pan out.
Koshak, does that start with a K?
Yes, it is. They're out of Racine, or Milwaukee.
Well, I'm sorry, what was the name of the company?
Koshak Roofing. They haven't got the bid yet.
Yeah. But that's the one that's the one that's gone through. They made it this far.
Yes, they did. We're going to sit down and vet their bid, but having gone through this process before with them, they were sharp, they had everything covered, so we're cautiously optimistic.
Then the remaining two bids, then, are they over budget or are they closer?
Yeah, there's one that's with the consultant that we're using. One is like 1% over budget and the other one's like 8% over budget.
Okay.
So Koshak is about 4% under budget. But yeah, so again, we have to fully vet them and get them to accept. Any questions on that one?
Go ahead.
The Kemper water infiltration repair budget phase four. Tentatively, the city has, Shelly and I had to fill in for Matt Collins, but we were able to get a preliminary commitment for $22,627. Still has to be approved by the City Finance, City Common Council, and HUD. But the bids came in under budget. We were able to go ahead and issue the PO to Berglund, who'd done the previous phase work. So there's a 20-week lead time on windows, though. The windows got to be replaced. So we're looking, with everything else in their schedule, we're looking at a late August start, but we'll be finished before the end of October within the window. Just a side note, I put it in there, but for the Brookside backup generator design, you know, we're able to back up the whole place, save money, but also by doing it that way, it's another consideration I bring up. We're not doing any work inside the building anywhere by the residents. If we would have just fed life safety or the air conditioner they wanted, we would have been putting conduit through the halls and, you know, drilling through walls and stuff like that. So we eliminate any of that disruption to the residents. And the last project was the PSB underground gasoline and diesel fuel tank design and placements. Matt Storino and I have been working on that with the architects. Our insurance consultant really highly recommends we get them changed because of their age. They're completely in compliance. There's no leaks with the monitoring. But
less and less insurance companies want to insure us, so we're being proactive by getting that designed out, and so we're in that process.
Frank, are the requirements the same as like any underground, let's say, commercial diesel storage tank that a like diesel trucks would go up to and refill on the highway? Do we have the same requirements for these tanks as they do for those, or is there a different?
As far as I know, we've got the kind of the requirements, and I haven't compared them to anything else, but as far as I know, it's the same ones that anyone else would have to follow.
Okay. So they don't have a special one for government?
No, as far as I know, not. It should be the same. We've got two 10,000-gallon gasoline tanks that fill up all the sheriff's squad, all the police squads, and other county vehicles, and then we have an underground diesel tank. It was 10,000 gallons that for the one generator when the building was originally built, when they added the addition, they put a 500 kilowatt generator on that, which is tapped into that one, and when we replaced the original generator with 600 kilowatt, it would have taken like a year to get through the DNR, so we prepped it all to hook up to this tank. But we think that 10,000 gallon diesel tank is way oversized. We're kind of getting through the final sizing of it, but you weren't using the diesel, so a lot of algae and stuff was growing in it. So we think we can shrink the size, save some money, we think, and then turn over the diesel more often.
Now, are we using diesel generators because, like, natural gas generators won't provide the power we need or whatever we've got to do to produce?
Excellent question. When you get to that size, natural gas would be hugely expensive compared to diesel. Hugely expensive.
Compared to buy, operate?
To buy, really. And the reason is natural gas really, the volume of natural gas ones is very small at that size. With diesel, you got them running all the way from little cars all the way up to locomotives and everything in between. So that there's a massive volume of diesels almost in every single category. So just because of the economies of scale, the diesel is much cheaper, very reliable.
Yeah.
And then even though natural gas is very reliable nowadays, it completely eliminates any problem if you were to lose electrical and natural gas. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I thought that might have been one of the downturns, or I guess, stimulus. I don't know what the possibilities of losing both electrical and natural gas, but
it's rare.
You don't have to buy them diesel and keep it on site, or, you know, if you had a propane one run by propane, you'd have to, you know, keep propane on site, where natural gas is just piped right in. So I thought there might have been some long-term savings. But you guys looked at all that stuff.
No, we actually did. We did a whole analysis for here also. We did a whole analysis.
Yeah.
We did. I made them look at that just in case.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, just it's the cost of the natural gas is just so much more.
Yeah.
At those sizes.
Okay. Sounds good. Anybody have any questions?
Aaron? Yeah. This is more of a philosophy question of how you operate more than anything, but is the desire to replace and continue to use underground storage tanks a function of, you know, having the availability to the fuel when you need it, or is it more of a convenience? The reason I ask is because I know that in many instances some municipalities have gone to like fleet fueling cards, whether you work with a commercial vendor, then you don't have to maintain those underground storage tanks on your property, and you just go to a local vendor nearby to do that. Just curious if there was a thought to that at all, or if there's a reason why we want to continue to make sure that we have on-site fuel source.
I can jump in. There was a little bit of discussion. They do have fuel cards for the like the diesel. Right now we don't pump diesel. There's not a diesel dispenser there. We're looking into the option of it to help turn over the gas or the diesel. So they do have fuel cards and things. We didn't do a deep dive into it, kind of asked, you know, we'd be better off. And Joint Services really is in charge of buying the gasoline, distributing and things like that, the fuel card, stuff like that. And we didn't do a deep dive into it. I'm going to go back and ask now. But their original feeling was, no, we're better off with just having our own tanks and stuff. But I'll go back and dig into it further. The diesel, we have to because of the generators. But yeah, it was brought up, and they felt that was the best way to go. But I'll go back and dig into it further.
Yeah, Chris has something to say.
I was just going to add that we do bid out the fuel every time that we purchase it or need it. So I don't know what type of agreement we could or could not get into with somebody that would be on the front end where we may be paying more for the fuel than if we were to keep our own tanks and bid out annually or weekly, so what it turned out to be.
Right. So just three things that I think about when I start to go down this process. One, we have our own fuel supply that we control in-house for our emergency vehicles, our police personnel, and whatever vehicles we have as a county that we need. So to me, there's a little bit of a resiliency effect in there, and you're not relying on a third-party vendor to do that. That would be the plus for keeping it in-house. It would probably pay more in insurance, so if you added up insurance, capital expenses, curious on how long it would take and how much of a premium you pay to go to a fleet fueling to be able to pay off keeping those. So it's kind of like we're paying to have that convenience. The other side of it is that having that convenience right at the facility, whoever does the fueling, is it our maintenance folks or is it the actual...
The company comes in just like at a gas station.
No, I mean like the dispenses.
Like the sheriff's deputies and the police deputies, they actually dispense it themselves.
Right, right. So if you go to an off-site vendor, then there may be 10, 15, 20 minutes a day or something like that, depending on where it is, of them going and fueling instead of coming to the home base, coming and leaving to home base. So I think about all that stuff. Generally, do I think it may be less expensive if we don't have to pay for this plus the insurance and stuff, potentially? But I don't think it's as big as just, capital expenses.
Yeah, we'll go back and dig into it further. The other thing, and I don't know if this was part of their decision, but we get we don't pay all the taxes because we're a municipality. I don't know if that was a factor in.
I think you could probably set it up in a way.
I think you can.
But just out of curiosity, there's liability assigned with it, and there's obviously cost for convenience. So, but then some of it is offset with some of the convenience. So, just.
No, good, excellent question. Really good points. I'll go back and we'll dig into it.
Okay. Not saying it's one way or the other. At the end of the day, I think, moving, getting these updated is probably the best thing to do. I'm just, it would be good to know if there's another option.
You good?
Yeah.
Supervisor Stocker?
Okay, kind of building off that, the one concern I have in that is in a case of a big emergency, to not have our own supply. That, maybe we can do a hybrid of some sort, but just keep that in. I'd like to have the fuel here if we needed it.
Right, yeah. That's the resiliency part that you really can't get around any other way.
The reason for my question about whether we're looked at the same way as any other commercial underground distributor of the material there is, remember, whenever the federal government seemed to change the rules, private companies had to increase or go out of business. They're going to have to put all these new rules in place by whatever set date they say they have to do it by, or they just say, well, we can't afford to do it. And a lot of mom-and-pop shops went out of business because they could not afford to keep up. And they cowered. I think he quit selling gas during that time. So did Bassett.
Sure.
All that. Yeah, a lot of them just went out of business because they couldn't keep up with the ever-increasing requirements by the federal government, or even the state government for that matter. And I can tell you, they're very fast and furious at putting the adding new things together. So as long as we're okay with that, we have to make sure, I know whatever is the current way we have to put something in, if we're going to remove something, I'm sure we have to put it in with whatever the current regulations are now for an underground storage tank for any type of petroleum product, or whatever they call it. So.
One of the things, when I dug into it, I found out we were all up to date. Everything was compliant, so I pushed back. And they were fiberglass tanks, which they were way ahead of their time back in 1980 when they put in fiberglass tanks. Mm-hmm. I thought the insurance company was assuming, because of their age, that they were steel tanks. So I took all this information back and said, they're in compliance, you know, they're fiberglass, not steel, you know. And they came back and said, yes, 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 we know. But still, because of the age, less and less insurance companies were willing to insure the county. Mm-hmm. So it was getting smaller, and it was better that we did this mm-hmm. now while there were still a few, and then right. we could say, okay, they're brand new. Even with fiberglass, they were worried.
Okay. Professor Stein?
Just from a numbers standpoint, just doing some quick math, if we get the same years out of the new one that we put in as we got from the last one, it's roughly $15,500 some change dollars a year just to have it in the ground. So but just throw that into your calculations. As I personally, for my company, I have fuel delivered on site. I have 1,000 gallon fuel tank at my shop, and it's great convenience. It saves us, you know, we're able to buy low and ride out those months where the gas is more expensive, so we save money that way. I mean, I like the cost effectiveness of it, but just curious, when you're playing with the numbers, just curious to see how much a year it costs us to have the tank. That's not factoring in insurance, but be good to look at. You know, maybe if they do something hybrid, you know, it's probably wouldn't be a bad idea to have more cops filling up at gas stations on a regular basis. The community would probably like that in general.
Yeah, I can't speak to how they do it, but we do have agreements with like BP and that with like the highway trucks. If it's closer, yeah, it would be convenient for them to have fuel up there rather than here. They can type in their code, put it in, and then we get a bill from BP.
Right.
Now, obviously, we're paying probably whatever it is at the station compared to whatever we got when we get the fuel output, the cost of driving back always.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Actually, it's a good point. Like the sheriff's deputies that are out here fuel up here and get their gasoline here at the highway department pumps too. So, but let me check back in. Let me get a better explanation.
John,
you said something about joint services too. They haven't really weighed in on this whole concept of the.
Oh yes, they've been in from day one. I bring everybody to the table as far as what we're doing. You know, the sheriff, the police, joint services. Pat Sapansky in Joint Services actually runs all the pumps and everything like that. He orders the fuel, yes, from day one.
So they don't want to necessarily split off. They want to have it there too.
You know, we opened it up saying, you know, hey, we got to replace these tanks. This is the way we want to go. You know, and the answer was yes. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, I didn't dig into it and kind of push them. The insurance company was saying yes. They said they want to keep the system, but we can go back and actually get the breakdowns.
That's a good exercise.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
We can at least let people know we've looked at all our options, and this was the best option. It may not have been the least expensive option, but it may be the best option.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's what we want to make sure we've done our due diligence.
Did you have a question?
I see your hand.
No, sorry.
Okay. All right. Any other questions about this issue? I think we have a resolution, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh, sorry.
Do we have estimated numbers on what it actually costs? I mean, we put in $700,000 based off of a similar cost of what we had here. But I'm just curious if we've had any updates of anybody that's came out and looked at it to give us a possible cost, whether it's lower or higher, just when we put the numbers together. I mean, that could, if it's $100,000 less, that could play a huge factor.
That's literally kind of the next step as we're sizing these tanks, like the diesel tank, if we can shrink it down and things like that. So that's literally the next step.
Okay.
Once we kind of get this design down, and you know, we just wasn't assuming that we needed another $10,000 diesel tank. We actually looked at the usage. Matt pulled it for what he uses, you know, for snow and things like that. And so yes, that's the next step. And that's part of the reason we got this design going early, because if it turns out we've got a list of wants and needs, and if the needs ends up being, you know, more than what we've got budgeted, at least we figured out the design, we know the general cost, and if it's more, we can, we don't have a gun to our head yet. We can put more money in next year and then put it in next year's budget and then release it right away. So, but yeah, literally the next step. Good question.
You good? Okay. All right. Do I see any more hands up? See any more hands up? Okay. All right, Frank, we have a. Anything else?
Yes, resolution.
The resolution.
Okay. This is a resolution for We Energy's permanent easement request with Brookside Care Center. This is so we can put in the new generator. We actually need to put in a new transformer and prep it for working with the generator. So everything, all the designs are in place. Everything's worked out with our electrical engineer. We Energy's met on site several times. Everything, so it's literally down to just approving the easement so they can start to schedule their work.
Yeah, we have a current easement right now on the current generator. And that we're going to get back then, I guess?
That's a good question.
Shall we do
that's
that?
A very good question.
I believe they abandoned it, but is that not shown on there? We can have that added.
Well, they're looking
it says discontinued. Yes, discontinued. Yeah, you're right, discontinued.
Yeah. Okay. So they'll basically just swapping one for the other. And a few extra feet.
Just wanted to make the motion.
Okay. John, make a motion.
I'll second.
To approve. And Supervisor Carroll seconded. Any further discussion?
Has our corp counsel reviewed this, or are they going?
Yes, they have. In fact, they reviewed it and approved it. Yes, they did. They reviewed it and approved it, John Moyer. So everything was clear as far as they're concerned.
Yeah. I think the only thing that isn't 100% clear to me right now is if the term or definition of discontinued means that that's going to be, that they truly are going to discontinue it.
I'll go back and verify.
Yeah, on the print here says to be removed.
Right.
Yes, you're right.
That's I don't think it's a big deal one way or the other, just more of a clarification.
I'll verify that.
Okay. All right. Any more discussion? Seconded. All right. You're the governor. How do you vote on the resolution?
Aye.
The rest of the committee?
Aye.
No one's opposing. All right. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Clement.
Yeah, I've been waiting. You seen that in that
resolutions from Hunter too, right?
Yeah. I'll start with some few announcements and please, I want to take this opportunity to say I've accepted the job offer with Dane County. So I'll have about a month and a half. Make sure I organize my stuff correctly. So I would just like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for all the support. All of you have always been nice to me, and it made me who I am today. And if I did well in the interviews, because of what I learned here. So I just want to say thank you, and I'll always be available, even when I'm working there.
Excuse me.
They need me down here, I'll always make myself available.
Bittersweet. For you and your family?
The main reason is because of the distance. It cuts down 2 hours to 15 minutes. So,
that is.
Yeah. Well, 2 hours, that's 1 week.
I propose that the last meeting that we have with Clement, we have to make him read his entire
report. You know, that was one of my weaknesses. I don't know how to read.
We didn't tell Dane County that, did we?
So we just don't want his farewell party to be the same as Matt's, right?
Yeah, snow
or something. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I hear you're going to still come down to our committee meetings, is that what I heard?
Okay.
We're going to miss you.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
I'll have to do one last drive with you.
Yeah.
Thank you. One thing that Clement did say he was going to do before he left is to leave all his files electronically on the computer in such a manner that anybody can pick up and figure out where he left off of things.
Yeah, but that's the idea. So I'll be. I have some very smart engineers to help me to arrange it because I don't think I can do it. But I work very closely with them, make sure that. But in all sincerity, there are things that I do. That I've just been doing them, and I'm not the best organizer, so I really need to organize it so that if they need it, they should know exactly where it is. And
I'm going to tell your new boss so you don't get the new job.
Just so you know, I'm not giving my resignation letter yet. So
I just think he wants to be closer to Matt Collins. That's all.
He's further away.
Yeah, he's not going to be much closer. Yeah, he's Dane County.
Oh, I guess
so. So I just passed around a memorandum of understanding. I first of all apologize. I've had this thing for some time. I was supposed to have brought it in here. This is just a notification of what we are doing. Collaborating with the local municipalities, in this case is the town of Wheatland. Town of Wheatland approached us, and they have a UTV and ATV network in town of Wheatland. Unfortunately, Highway 50 is actually a kind of a boundary between the network in the north and the network in the south. And they approached us and they requested for us to use a small section of County Trunk Highway O. In as much as we're struggling with it, we thought it best to give it a try, a pilot project, run it for about a year and observe, and if there are issues, put a hold on it. And if there are no issues, then if there are ways of enhancing safety, then we do that. So this resolution is exactly doing that. And it doesn't have to go to go through the approval process, but it is very important that we run it through the committee so that the committee knows what we are doing out there. And it's just needed to be signed by the county exec. And the county exec is aware of this, he has gone through this. We've also run this through Corporation Council to make sure that at least we don't do something legally that will come back to bite us. So before you today, it's just the way of notifying you that this is what is going to be happening. But it's a pilot project, we just want to watch and see and observe to make sure that it works.
Currently, countywide, there aren't any ATV, UTVs allowed on county highways, but they could cross them at a 90 degree where there's a 35 mile an hour speed limit. Is that the only time they can go across a county highway currently?
Yes, according to the rules.
So this is allowing them to actually drive down the road to be safer at that intersection, correct. That's what I understand.
Yeah, and the reason why we chose that location, because there's also a possibility of Katie.
Yeah.
But the reason why we chose that section is because it's civilized. It's categorically, yes. Traffic control is categorically.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to be there. Yeah,
it gives you time to drive through. So, again, we are not saying that that's going to be a UTV. It's a pilot project. If it works, then we'll be coming back here to tell you that it works and we're going to keep it going. If it doesn't work, we're going to take it away.
Mm-hmm. Aaron's happy.
Well, I can tell you the town will be happy. You know,
Many members of the town connect everything. But it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I would need to apologize to the town because I kept this thing for so long.
And according to this, the town is going to be the one putting up all the signage.
Correct.
Will they put up signage on Highway 50 as too, warning that there's
Yes, they, but they'll need a permit from the state.
They don't have to go to the state. We won't deal with that at all or anything like that. Okay. Right.
But be the town, we can assist them because they're a town.
Yes.
Yes, right. We can if we so choose to.
Okay.
And one thing to note as well is that because the town of Wheatland is a rural area, farmers in rural areas have the ability to ride ATVs, UTVs on the roads, whether we have a memorandum of understanding or not. So I think there's already some traffic up and down through there. And
oh, there's no doubt.
So, right. So generally speaking, this is, you know, I think a good thing to memorialize it, so that way the proper signage will be up and things like that.
My husband and his friends were out because they couldn't snowmobile.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that was the other thing, that there was discussions with the town as well. There, the you need to have a permit with the town in order to ride on the town road. So this isn't like a destination, you know, where people are coming in from out of the area, because there's a network on town roads. So I don't think that you're attracting anybody from outside of the area. It's only really servicing the local area.
Yeah,
so
like on the road or anything like that where you have UTV trails.
Correct.
Again, I apologize because I'm supposed to have sent this with the package, but
you had stuff on your mind, obviously.
I was sick, that's what I was saying. I forgot because I was sick. The next one is a resolution for County Trunk Highway W right of way. So, of course, when we design these projects, when we have federal funds, we have to follow a particular process to design. And it is controlled by the federal government and the DOT. In the middle of the design, when we're so close to the completion, after we've had two public information meetings, knowing that we've told them that, oh, we're going to construct this year, the federal government came up with what they call a tricolor band in some endangered species. They delayed the project for 6 months. So we knew that, okay, we're not going to do it. But we talked about this and said it's not fair. They can't just keep us waiting. So we contacted the DOT counterparts and explained to them, and they kind of concur with us, and they decided to move the project forward. So again, so this, because they're moving this project forward, at this stage is the time to acquire the right of way. It has been our policy. I know I can sign and approve them, but it has been the public works policy that if we're acquiring any right of way, we should just run it through the county board to make sure that just in case there's a legal issues in the future, when they see the county board as approving it, then they have more confidence because they can say, oh, Clement, if we should share it, of course I'm going to grant share it. So they don't want any bias, that kind of thing. So this is just our process. So what you have in front of you here today, it's just to approve us, one, to approve that we should receive the funds for local road for the project, and then two, to authorize the highway commissioner to acquire the necessary right of way needed for this project.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any further discussion?
So,
this is just eminent domain, right?
Well, yes, it's eminent domain, using eminent domain law, chapter 32.
Okay.
Supervisor Carr?
So, in reviewing the plat, and you're just trying to understand what is happening here, it looks like it's a shaded color, the polka dots, let's call shading, hatching in there. I can understand what the slope intercept line is, but are we physically acquiring the right-of-way where it moves out and in?
Yes.
For the full extent of the slope intercept line?
Correct.
Okay.
Again, there is always a, what they call temporary easement, because even at the intercept, you need to encroach on the private property to make it work. So even if where we are doing a, what they call a full take, there's always, we always want to have a temporary easement to give room for the contractor to be able to move this equipment. Otherwise, the contractor cannot touch one grain on the other side.
Right, understand. I was just trying to understand if these were a combination of temporary construction easements or if it was full right-of-way that you both were looking to acquire.
Both. So the designer would determine where we need it, and then it would acquire the temporary easement. And in some cases, there are permanent easement where we have to go in and service a culvert, things like that, yes.
Sure. And it doesn't look like it, like this plat distinguishes between those, does it?
Well, this plat, I think it does, because you have to look at it. Where is the one? I wish I printed a bigger picture. It's hard to see it here, but it shows both of them if you look at it very closely. I should have printed a bigger 11 by 17, you see clear. You see the temporary easement, permanent easement, and full take.
Okay, and that's what I was struggling with. I didn't see a legend or a key to distinguish the difference.
If you look at the very first page, the front page, you have all the legends there.
Okay.
And again, it's so, I should have printed 11 by 17 because it's so hard to see.
Okay, so the new right-of-way has the hatching, which means that it's got the diagonal-shaped line.
Right.
The temporary limited easement area is the polka dot. So so it looks like we're getting a tremendous amount of temporary easement on this and very little right-of-way acquisition is what it appears to me, just by understanding what the difference is right now. So, okay. Because I was wondering, because in some instances there's very large areas of temporary easements for cutting the slopes. And stuff. That's what I'm familiar with. It's like we can go in there, do our work, reshape the land, but then we're essentially going to step back out of it. It's not ours. We're not keeping it. So wanted to make sure that was, I understood that. So thank you.
Just so you know, we also hired a real estate consultant to review these plans. We also gave it to a real estate attorney to look at it and make comments so that we are trying to anticipate challenges before they come.
Okay. And this looks like it goes through pretty much from the state line up through and including the unincorporated area called Wilmot, correct?
Yes.
So it doesn't go north of Wilmot or...
It goes all the way where you have the sidewalk.
Right.
So it's for about 500 feet or 600 feet north of C.
Okay. Right. Okay. I was just making sure I understood it properly. And
Then the other thing that might not be so evident, the bridge along C, just east of... Yes, it's also included in this project for repairs. So the bridge will be repaired and bring back the life to the bridge. So it goes all the way to that bridge.
Okay, but I didn't see any. I did see Highway C on here, but I didn't see where we needed easements or land in order.
No, that area we don't need easement.
Right. Only temporary construction easement by the, let's call it the church there.
Church,
the, yeah. By 360th Avenue. Okay.
That trail's not going to.
Okay.
When they build this road, they'll pull that in and then across here.
Okay. So, thank you for the clarification.
Okay. This kind of thing I want to share. Anybody else? Any questions?
And then are we for the permanent? I guess I do have one more. For the permanent right of way, then you mentioned that there was a eminent domain or taking or something like that. But that's
how does that work out with the property owners? Is there a fair market value or exchange? Or?
Correct. They have to do an appraisal.
Okay.
So we hired a consultant. So what we did is we sent out these to various consultants to give us approximate estimate for the approximately what those properties cost. Mm-hmm. That's how we build the budget to know how much we're going to need for right of way. And also their services, how much their services will cost. So the federal government also has a particular process to do, they call it the NEPA process, where the person who review, who does the appraisal cannot review the appraisal. So you have to get two consultants.
Okay.
And then you also have to have the person that negotiates. Like if you do the appraisal and this person reviews and say everything is okay, then you get a third person to actually negotiate the price.
Okay.
Those kind of things. So, but when all of those people have been put in place. I'm sorry, I just have to go a little bit further. I don't think I wanted to say this, but I'm saying we've got the estimate. Unfortunately, because of what the department did when we were budgeting for this year, we did not think of putting in the right-of-way acquisition funds because we knew we were going to be doing the tricolor bar review because they said it was about 9 to 11 months. When we convinced them, then we are now back to now doing the right-of-way acquisition, but unfortunately we didn't put that. So it's something that we'll look into in the future and see how we're going to do it. But right now we're getting the estimate how much it's going to cost us.
Okay. So when would have people already been contacted?
No.
Okay.
Until I know that we can find the funds to do the work.
Okay.
And then once that fund is available, then we can contact you.
You've established the need, you've got the map showing what the need is, and now once it gets approved, then that's the next step to negotiate.
Negotiate.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions for finance?
We did the motion.
What's that?
We did the motion.
Yeah, I was going to say it's been moved and seconded, correct? Yeah, that. Okay, roll through discussion. We're going to have you vote with us then, Jake. Sure, all one time. This is a resolution. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries on a resolution.
Okay, then the second resolution here is County Trunk Highway L. We're going to be reconditioning Highway L from 31 to 30th Avenue. Again, this is the problem. You see, we always plan, but we are also dependent on the Department of Transportation timetable. These things, these funds, they would have told us like around maybe November of last year. And if they tell us, then we put them in the budget. Now, they didn't tell us, and we're not sure that it's going to happen, so we don't put it in the budget. So it so happened that early this year, they told us that we've been awarded the local road, yes, so local road improvement funds, and it's a very good one. It's a 90-10, it's a 90-10 speed. So, and then we are putting it on Highway L so that we optimize to get it L. But this is the problem. I did not put it in the budget still. So I worked with finance. So what we are doing is finance is now trying to see some of the projects that are ongoing that they might not be able to use all the funds for this year but can use it next year. We're trying to repurpose those funds and use it on L so that we can complete the project this year. And then went in the budget process and then we'll make it up and put it back.
Okay.
When it comes. Chris, am I explaining it correctly? Okay. So that's what this resolution is about. One, to give the resolution to accept the funds, the local road improvement funds, in the tune of about 900 something thousand, and also authorization to spend the money to construct the road.
So we're moving
yes.
from K to L.
Yes, but K will go on till next year, so by the end of next year, we'll make sure we account for that during the budget process. So that the money goes back to K, otherwise K might not have enough money for completion.
Well, aren't we waiting in STP funds for K anyways, our rotation?
Yeah, Kay becomes a good project to do because of the casino and the pushback of STP that we're waiting anyway, so it's a use of the funds, and then we can reevaluate what our need is then in 25, and like you said, kind of replenish anything that we took in.
That makes sense.
I think we need a motion we can discuss further.
I'll
second.
Second, okay. Further discussion. Zach, you had a question.
So is this going to affect the funds? Were we going to be doing engineering now for the future construction, or is the engineering not going to start until next year anyway? At what point do we start engineering the project?
The engineering will start when we have what they call the SMA, State Municipal Agreement. So how it works is that they award you the dollar amount, you accept, and then they'll send you a municipal agreement, and then you sign, and then they execute. And then once they execute, then they'll encumber the money for that project, and then they'll tell you that they'll authorize you to use the funds. So until you get that authorization to use the funds, you cannot use the funds, you can't spend money. Yeah, because if you spend money, then you're spending it. I mean, it's not reimbursable. So
when do you anticipate that approval or that authorization?
I would say maybe May, June. I don't know.
My concern is I don't want the engineering, I don't want the engineering of K to be held up only because we have so much coming down the pipe for that potential with the casino and everything. You know, that's going to be, we're already, if the casino goes through, that corridor is going to be seeing a lot of traffic, and I don't want to delay that development at all.
All of those things were accounted for.
Okay.
So we knew that they'll be doing design. Design is...
So this money wasn't money that was going to be used for design or engineering?
No.
Okay.
And with regard to the STP, we have to work with the other municipalities to take turns to go for it. So that's been worked out too. But that's why this is a good reappropriation to get something done now. So.
Yeah.
As long as it doesn't delay, that's my only concern.
Yeah, it will not delay.
Okay.
And one of the questions I had, and I think Sean, you answered it, was this doesn't jeopardize getting any future LRIP money by moving it from one project to the next.
No.
Go ahead.
What's the scope of the Highway L project?
The scope is we pulverize and overlay from Greenway to maybe 39. There are some urban sections there. We have curb and gutter there. We'll just mill and overlay maybe 3 to 4 inches asphalt. So depending on how the design comes back to be. But we are pulverizing majority of it from 31 to close to 39. The reason being that we pulverize, we believe that it's technically a brand new road because it's 5 inches thick. And if we condition the base and put it in the good conditions, and then.
Okay. So it's really no expansion or it's surface replacement essentially.
Correct. But if we see opportunity of widening the shoulders, we'll take advantage of that.
But LRIP requires us only to do resurfacing, right? We can't do redevelopment of it.
Correct. We can't do. That is why I said we are reconditioning.
Yeah.
Because if you say reconstruct, that's not what it means.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. Lower level.
Yeah. So, but when you go there, you can always. It doesn't mean that, for example, if you go there and you can expand a culvert, you can do that. It doesn't. That's not reconstruction. Even though it's a kind of a reconstruction item, but just one, the majority of the project is still reconditioning. So.
Okay.
Any more questions?
That section of road is going to be turned over to the city at some point, is it? Or was that one of the ones that are
not that?
Not so.
Well, that's one that we looked into that, I think, but the challenge is that section of the road crosses multiple municipalities.
Yeah.
And once it crosses multiple municipalities, the DOA will not allow you to do jurisdictional transfer.
So does it stop for us? Does it stop at 30th or 38th?
It stops at 30th.
Okay.
We don't get into the intersection, just at the curb returns, just where you have that.
But our map shows it, and because of the latest agreement for Highway K, our maps do show it going to 22nd, our responsibility. So once that memorandum of understanding is all satisfied with Highway K, then it gets cut back to 30th Avenue.
But we are just reconditioning.
Right, that's right.
Right. Yeah, the county's putting it all together.
I have that right, Rachel. I believe that's right.
2035.
I have to read that again.
I won't be worrying about it. Okay, any more questions? All right, here's how we have a motion to second. We're going to take a vote. All those in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, that resolution passes. And then we have your division report.
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot because of the good weather. All the projects are ahead of schedule.
Good.
So the COVID project is complete. They have completed the punch list items. Everything is complete. Having said that, you know, we might still see one or two things. The four men, they have a very good eye. So when they drive around and look at it, they might see one or two things that we still need to fix. But according to them, they're done right now. And it went so fast.
Good.
So we did it in less than... And we did it in less than 1.5 months, so that was very impressive. The bridge project, too, is going way ahead of schedule. As a matter of fact, they've already poured the deck of the... So technically speaking, the bridge is completely constructed. They just need to do restoration, backfilling, and all this kind of stuff. So and it was scheduled to be completed in the end of May, but again... this is just an observation. I'm not saying that's what they're going to do. If they continue at this rate, I could see them be done by next month. Too much. Because they poured it now, they just have to wait for maybe 28 days for the concrete to cure. And they can start driving on it. And then sort of put those backfield in the sides. The other thing that I just want to add for the state project, Highway 50 from W to the UP Railroad in Wheatland. Yeah, we got feedback that they are planning to start the project by at the end of March. Yes, but they didn't give us any specific date. But I would not be surprised if they start a little bit earlier based on how the weather is performing. So those are just a few things I wanted to add. And with that, I think I can rest my case now. I think I'll put it all in.
We're really going to miss you.
I promise you, I'll be coming for some meetings. Just
no, you're just coming for the Paklavai now.
So, go ahead. So is there... Is Highways able to take this opportunity, this lull right now? It sounds like we're ahead of schedule. Are we going through all of our off-road bike paths, like our multi-use trails, and just checking those cracks? Is that one of the areas that you guys are looking at? If it's not, can you just kind of maybe run through those if you guys are slow and just check and make sure that just for the pedestrians, for the bikes, and I know in earlier committees we've talked about our county bike trails that are literally just, you know, the more hazardous of our bike trails where it's literally just a small sliver of the road, paying special attention to those areas and making sure we don't have potholes, that type of stuff, as we come get ready for spring where we will see more traffic out there. Just pay special attention to those areas, make sure that it's rideable for a bike and that our multi-use paths, because we've added them with S, we added them along K now, and just making sure that we're staying on top of the maintenance with those, because long term I've seen municipalities that don't take care of them and they get weeds growing through the cracks and the potholes and it just looks bad again. So I like that we have those. I just want to make sure that we're, you know, taking good care of those and being proactive about it.
Yes, you're correct. When you were talking about bike trails, I was thinking you were talking like North South bike trail, which we don't generally see. The ones on the highway, we've been doing a great effort to assist park, because there are too many of them, and if you are there maintaining, it's just better that You can't go there to maintain and you see something that's not good and then you say, oh, that's for parks. Mm-hmm. It's the same department. So, yes, we've been doing that for the on-street trails. Yes, but at the same time, if there's a major crack and seal, like for north-south trail, yes, we do. I'll circle back with Shelley, we'll look at it if we need, then we'll get the guys.
I'm just thinking, S, K, do we put off-road paths on KRS and K are the ones that come to mind where we added those when we reconstructed those highways?
Yeah, we've been paying more attention on K.
Aren't those part of the parks? Aren't they considered parks once they're in?
Yes, but
it was highways when we put them in because that made sense to do it in that project. But once they're in, I think it's a park that controls them.
Yeah, I'm just saying from a highway standpoint, if they have the crack sealing truck out, right? You know, it's a lot easier to touch those up rather than having parks doing it.
Yeah, I hope we do that. Yes. Well, sometimes they'll tell us to go and do it.
Well, they should be out there on a bicycle.
they don't have the crack sealing equipment, so we have to do it.
That's right. Okay. You don't have the heavier weights on those trails, so hopefully you don't have the amount of crack sealing needed. But yeah, it's kind of over time.
Just settling, especially on the on the surface, you can see the settling, that kind of stuff.
Are we still having fun with the tri-colored bat for the county W?
Well, we've succeeded in moving forward with the project. That's why we're discussing all these budget issues now. But we'll have to figure out how to solve it. I always make the problem when I sleep because this has to be right now.
That's a 25 or 50.
Yeah, so it's today,
but it's a danger.
Two more questions for you, Clement. Highway E resurfacing and Highway H resurfacing. With the contracts, and just curious on the bid results, do they come in under budget?
Oh, beautiful.
Okay.
It's bidding, that period of bidding is opening bids from November through January.
Sound nice.
You can never go wrong.
Okay.
It came under budget, and we're good.
Okay. Well, I didn't hear anything, so I presume that it was okay then.
It was.
So.
It was the last meeting. I put the results.
And I wasn't here for that one, so apologize. Okay. Thanks.
John,
I had a conversation with Clement about KR. I've been on this public works a long time. I did not realize that from 22nd Avenue to Sheridan Road is not Kenosha County's responsibility. It's Racine's.
Correct.
Totally. The whole thing. So I don't know who made that arrangement years ago. If we have any clout, that's one of the worst roads from 22nd to Sheridan Road. KR, they haven't touched it for years. It's miserable. Well, I drive it a lot because I go that way.
Aren't we negotiating with the state? Have we negotiated?
So I think in 1936, there was an intergovernmental agreement between Racine and Kenosha. Because since KR was a border road, what they did was they split the roads into sections. So that and they came to an agreement that Kenosha County would take KR from I-94 to 22nd Avenue, and then they would take it from 22nd Avenue to Sheridan Road. Sure. Whatever the rationale was, I don't know, but there was an agreement to that.
Yeah.
And then west of I-94 to 45 is still Racine's. And then if you also notice, there's part of J, County Trunk Highway J, Racine does some of that, and I think JB. So all those, that there's a comprehensive intergovernmental agreement that we have. Yeah, I can show that to you if you like.
And it has something to do with a north-south road that the state was going to take over or something like that. I mean, somebody has to resolve that and fix that road someday. I mean, Racine has to do it, or somebody.
Well,
you're not going to be here.
Yes, Racine is aware of that they're responsible. However, we are in the process of doing a jurisdictional transfer of KR from I-94 all the way to 31. And part of that agreement is to transfer these highways as is. If we still put in funds in there to do serious maintenance, then they're just throwing funds away. Probably that's why they are holding back. But they might do some minimal repairs because the DOT will come there and will rip everything out again because it doesn't meet their standards.
You make that happen.
Yes, it's going to happen in November. That, I'm almost sure.
You will be here.
But it will happen in November.
But I know it's better turn your phone off.
I know it's going to happen in November. The way it's done is because, the why I say November is because we could have done it now. Unfortunately, the highway that is going to be transferred to the counties is Highway 75.
Right.
And Highway 75, I think Highway 75 and 11, they're doing HISIP funds to construct a roundabout. And they cannot transfer the HISIP funds because the way the HISIP funds. So what they are doing is they want to complete the construction before they do the transfer.
And where's the roundabout going to be on 75?
I think it's 11, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I know there's one on 20, so it's 11. I think they want there's a constructor to come on there.
Yeah, but we don't go to 11.
No, that's in Mercy. Yeah. But when they are doing the jurisdictional transfer, they're doing it as one, because even though Mercy takes it from KR to,
okay.
Is it 11? But anyway, they're doing it around about one of the intersections.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Racine gets a portion of that. Yeah.
And that section is in Racine, not in Kenosha.
Okay. Right. Okay. Any more questions for Pat? I saw one more.
Thank you.
One more chance you'll be able to go after him.
Well, speaking of roundabouts, what's the update on the state line with EZ and... Have they done anything with that
plan
IGA?
2024-2025 plan has been updated, but that's the last we had information.
Correct. Easy. Kenosha is very efficient and on schedule. Well, I take that back. Lake County has their process of doing construction, so it's
thinking, more efficient than Illinois?
No, I just say that they have their process. Unfortunately, we've already encumbered funds to do the right-of-way acquisition. So I'm moving forward to do the right-of-way acquisitions. They can come and do their project at any time that they want, because I can't wait, because if I wait, it's only getting more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a real estate consultant lined up. And he's in the process of, I think they've actually sent letters to, it's only two properties.
It's two properties that are temporary right away, right?
So it's more construction. So they're in the process of doing real estate. Hopefully they'll be done by mid-summer. And then they can come and construct it whenever they have construct.
It's in Lake County's hands, is what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah.
We've done everything we can do.
Yeah.
No, we're still doing, because we've not acquired it yet. They're in the process.
Right, right.
But they're not beating down our door saying, we're ready to go or anything. They're
not. Won't be us holding them up.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Clem. Okay, Shelley, I guess we're back to you.
Yes.
A couple of resolutions for us. I believe we have one member who won't be able to vote on.
The first resolution is authorizing the sale of County Trunk Highway Alpha Project remnant to Donna Carroll. This is a first or right of refusal option, so they are paying our appraisal rate of $190,400, so we are recommending approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay. Go ahead, Sean. Any more information on it?
This is parcel B. So there were four parcels. Parcel A was already transferred, so parcel B.
So this is the Randall.
It's in the village of Twin Lakes.
What's that?
It's the village of Twin Lakes.
Oh, sorry, that was Twin Lakes. You're right. This is Randall.
Because they all.
Randall. Right. This is. Questions about this? Aaron?
My statement is going to be that, seeing as the person on the resolution who's interested in purchasing the property from the county is my mother. I'm going to abstain from voting on this.
Okay. So noted.
I got a vote for you.
Okay. All right. So you know more questions? Jake, how do you vote on that?
Aye.
Rest of the committee?
Aye.
All right.
Abstain.
All right.
B is the resolution authorizing the sale of a County Truck Highway F project remnant to Lance and Abby Gehring. This is actually another first right of refusal approval for parcel D in the appraised value of $153.7, and we recommend approval.
So moved.
Second.
Carol's got colored pictures, but the other ones didn't. I wonder why. This is partial D?
This is partial D, correct?
Yeah, so.
Somebody hit the wrong button on the scanner?
You sent it to the wrong printer? Okay, and they same thing right away that they came after Highway F was reconstructed. These are properties that are going back on the tax rolls. So that's a good thing for the municipalities and the county and both Twillex and Randall. Because I was reading these at the time, it didn't look like they were completed with their approvals, but they have since approved these.
Correct.
Okay. All right, seeing no discussion. Jake?
Aye.
Everybody else?
Aye.
Anybody opposing? Okay, don't see it. All passes.
Final C, resolution authorizing the lease of KC property at 1301 85th Street to Square Deal Trees LLC for 2 months for the sum of $250. This is for the job center since we likely won't be transferring ownership of that through the 2024 winter season. We are requesting that we lease that to the tree company that's been there the last few years and get $250 in for those 2 months. So staff recommends approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second. Okay. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion?
Did we raise the price? I remember voting on this last year. Was it 200 last year or is it the same?
Same.
Oh.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. Youth and governance, how do you vote on that?
Aye.
Rest of the committee?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Yep.
Shelly, you have anything else to add?
That is all I have.
The fact that you're going to miss your highway.
Yes, I
your highway guru from two different locations.
Yeah,
you
work
here in the city as well.
We congratulated and thanked him for his time this morning.
Yeah.
And then we will be planning a farewell party.
All right. No snow.
We'll let you all know when that date is picked. All right.
All right. Okay. All right. Any other matters?
Yep.
If nothing else, I would be open for
motion to adjourn.
Second.
Seconded. All right. Youth and governance?
You are.
Aye.
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 Thank you.